All right, so we begin, I believe this is the third shiur. We left off last time, if I remember correctly, that we had two opinions, two camps. One camp was that, and the more popular camp, is that there are reasons to mitzvahs. To what extent that goes is a subject of discussion. But there are reasons to mitzvahs and possibly even reasons to every last detail, every mitzvah, other than just fulfill my will and be subservient to me. There is another camp, which the Rambam brings down as Anshei Ha'iyun, Balei Ha'iyun, men of great depth, depth of thought, and Mibalei HaTorah. We'll see soon who that is, because the Rambam later on in Emor Nevuchim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, does clarify for us, he reveals to us who he believes is the author of that opinion. But the piece that we quoted in the Emor Nevuchim, which is the top of the source sheet that I just handed out, source sheet number two, a little later on, he brings some proofs to both sides. Let me just hand out source sheet number three, because it does have, we'll refer to it, the bulk of it is for a little later, but at least the top source is important. So if you could just pass that out, we'll...
This is also Murray in the book.
No. I'm sorry, I don't have a translation. I do have sheets that I worked on today, photocopying the Ramban, which has a, I took it from the art school, which has a translation, so we're improving. Again, it's not crucial to follow in word for word, but if you want to, it's certainly helpful. The first quote here is from the Medrash in Koheles, the Medrash Rabbah in Koheles. It is actually similar statements by Chazal in different places, but this is the quote that we'll see the Rambam alludes to and the Ramban actually mentions. And that is, the Medrash says like this, Omar Shloime, Shlomo HaMelech said, Al kol ele omadati upishpashti. On all the mitzvahs, I examined them. I learned them in depth. Uparsha shel parah aduma chakarti. I explored the parsha of parah aduma, the red heifer. Kiven shehayisi yogea ba, v'derish v'chayker ba. When I examined it, when I worked hard to understand it, Omarti Achkama Vehi Rechaika Mimeni. I said I'll become wise in it, but it is so distant from me. In other words, what he was saying is that he understood the reason behind all the mitzvahs, except for Parah Aduma. This underscores the Rambam's siding with the second opinion, which is that there is a reason to all mitzvahs. What was Shlomo pursuing in understanding the reason behind mitzvahs, if the main intention is simply to fulfill the will of Hashem? And the Rambam even says that those opinions that say that we had seen that in an earlier piece. He says those opinions that say that. That there is no reason other than to be subservient to Hashem, then pursuing the pursuit of understanding the reasons behind the mitzvahs is in vain. It's a waste of time, and it's wrong. The Rambam disagrees with that, obviously, and he says it in no uncertain terms. But here we seem to have, the Rambam brings this as a proof from the Medrash, that this is what Shlomo HaMelech said, that he examined all the mitzvahs, and the reasons behind them, and the only one that he really didn't understand well was was the Paraduma. Now, we had alluded to last time, and we'll... we have this in source. Turn back to short source sheet number 2, which begins with Sefer Mor Nevuchim. We had mentioned in passing that there were a couple mitzvahs, a couple psukim, that say that a king should not pursue excessive amounts of money, excessive amounts of wives, or just in a, as an aside, by the way, today in any case, polygamy is very dangerous, even if it would be mandated by law or even permissible by law, and that's because the credit card issue, the credit card crisis is... I would, even if it would be permitted by law, I would discourage it highly for all the other reasons as well, but especially for credit cards. So, but we do have that he shouldn't pursue money, he shouldn't pursue too much money, excessive amount of wives and horses. And the Torah seems to be giving, in each pasuk, the Torah seems to be giving reasons for each one. So let's look at the third source there, which is from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph and Beis. And the Gemara says like this. The Amr Rabbi Yitzchok. Rabbi Yitzchok said, "Mipnei ma lo nizgalu tamei haTorah? Why weren't the reasons for the mitzvahs revealed? You know why? Shari shtei mikrais nizgalu taimon. Two psukim. Now here you have to be careful. It's not two mitzvos. It's two psukim that happen to have three mitzvos, as we mentioned, right? They were revealed. And nichshol bahen gadol haolam." And the great one of the world was Nichshel. He stumbled on this. It says in the Pasuk in Devarim, these are the Pasukim that we mentioned, Layar Belo Nashim, don't have too many wives. Shlomo said, no, Ani Arba Vlayosar, I'll have more wives, and I won't stray off the path. The Torah, as we saw in the previous source, the Torah says, don't have too many wives, and the Torah says, Vlayosar Lavavo, they'll make his heart stray. We're concerned with that. The Torah is concerned with that. So he said, no, I will have an excessive amount of wives. We know that he had, how many?
700?
Yeah. Over 1,000. So, yeah, you can imagine the credit card bills there.
He's the wealthiest.
Yeah, that'd be problematic. In any case, whatever the case may be, he says, I'll have those, I'll indulge in having that many wives, and I won't be led astray. I'll be careful. He was the wisest of men. And what happened? As the Pasuk says, his wives, in fact, did draw his heart in the wrong direction. The same as Layar Belo Susim, he shouldn't have too many horses, the Torah says, and he ended up going to Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says not to have too many because you'll end up in Mitzrayim, and he ended up going to Mitzrayim. Whatever the case may be, this is back to our fourth source here. Back to our third source. He was the one that said, I will have no problem, and he did. So the Gemara, if you look at this Gemara, and the Rama brings this as a proof, it's very clear that every mitzvah in the Torah seems to have a reason. It's just the Torah did not reveal all of them. Look what happened. The Gemara experimented with us humans, us finite humans, and look what happened. Mortal man cannot be trusted too much, and that we see right here. Okay, so that's very clear. The Rambam so far has two proofs that, very clear that there are reasons to mitzvos. Not all of them have been revealed to us, and as he mentioned, in the previous piece in the Mor Nevuchim, if we don't understand the mitzvah, it's not because there isn't a reason, but rather because we're not capable of understanding it. And I always tell people who are exploring, are searching, and they're looking at Yiddishkeit, is this truth, is this not truth? And I tell them, when you're dealing with 613 mitzvos, or even with just the entire concept of Hashem and the world and why it was created and all the philosophical questions that exist, no one's expecting you to just, certainly from the get-go, Just accept. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about your questions. Everything is fine. Just accept it. A leap of faith. A leap of faith is a wonderful thing once you've established for yourself and you've proven to yourself without any doubt that the Rabbi Shalom exists. And you see clearly that the Rabbi Shalom demands of us to have faith in certain areas that is impossible to prove 1,000,000%. Can you prove 1,000,000% that the Rabbi Shalom is here? Can you prove it? If you were able to prove it 1,000,000%, I don't know if you call it on paper, scientifically, whatever it may be. Well, not scientifically, but if you can prove that the Rabbi Shalom is here, you'd have a very easy time teaching people the truth. So the Rabbi Shalom leaves some of it up to the imagination. But he doesn't demand of us to make irrational decisions. What we have to do, if you just open your eyes even minimally and you look around and you apply the same rational reasoning that you do to anything else, you'll see within a moment that there has to be someone who created the world and has to be someone who demands of us things and created us for a purpose, etc. It just takes a little bit of honesty. Okay, but then the same is to be applied with the mitzvahs itself. You have to examine the mitzvahs. Will you understand all of them? No. So is it irrational to accept them all? Absolutely not. Let's explore the mitzvahs to the degree that we can, and one will see that it's full of emes, it's full of tremendous wisdom, it's full of all the good things in the world, purity, etc. Once you understand that is a staple of the Torah, so then you have no problem accepting mitzvahs that you don't understand as well.
Doesn't it work that way? Nase v'nishma, so nase is like, we'll do whatever you say before we understand.
Yes, but to say nase v'nishma to any entity, just on a whim, is ridiculous, right? And that's what the non-Jewish person said to Rava. He said, I'm a paziza, you're a hasty nation, you're just accepting. What happened? What happened was that Klal Yisrael established a relationship with the Rabbi Shalom. He proved to us that he's in absolute control. If you go through all the Mefarshim and the story of the Makos, etc., and all the history of all the Yavos, etc., it was established very clearly to the Jewish people that the Rabbi Shalom is in control. Now that we've proven to ourselves, or it's been proven to us, that Hashem is not only in control, he created the world and he loves us, so for us then to say, okay, whatever you say we will do, that's a lofty thing. That's not something to be dismissed as irrational. Once you know that somebody is entirely dedicated to you and to your benefit, then that's that trust that you have. Otherwise, you'd never accept anything that's a risk at all. No one would ever risk anything in business. You develop a business relationship, you trust the person that he's an honest and straightforward person, so you develop the relationship, so then you'll accept things even though they may seem to be a little risky. That's the nature of all relationships. But in any case, so far we have the Rambam proving to us from the Medrash about Shleima with the Paraduma, and from the Gemara that teaches us that he explored all the reasons behind the mitzvahs. It's very clear that there are reasons to the mitzvahs, and again, we must emphasize those mitzvahs that we don't understand. It's only because of our limited capacity. The Rambam, on the other hand, brings in that same piece in the Morah Nevuchim, he brings a source that seems to prove the other side of the argument. Let us see the fourth source on our page 2. Again, the page 2 begins with Morah Nevuchim. If you have a pen, if you could just write number 2 on your paper so you don't confuse it. Now, this is a perek in Shmuel, a fascinating song that David HaMelech sang to Hashem about his troubles and how Hashem redeemed him. It's also found in Tehillim, in Perek Yud Ches and Tehillim, with slight changes. But one of the psukim says like this, Hokel Tamim Darkei. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is Tamim. He's complete. His ways are complete. Imras Hashem Tzrufa. The words of Hashem are Tzrufa. Tzrufa is a very interesting word. If you look in the art scroll, they translate it as flawless. Okay? Mogein hu l'chol ha'chaisim bayi. Beautiful pasuk. The Rebbe Hashem is a shield, he's a protection for those that seek his protection, for those that rely on him. Beautiful words. So, taking that basic, superficial explanation of flawless, the Rebbe Hashem's words are true, his commands are accurate, everything he does is accurate. So, the Medrash teaches us like this. The Medrash says like this. Imras Hashem Tzrufa. The Medrash has a different explanation to these words. The words of Hashem are Tzrufa. Amar Rava. Rava says, Lo nosnu ha-mitzvahs ela letzareif bohen habriyos. Anybody know what letzareif means?
To be joined, like a companionship, connected to a partnership.
Okay, but you find a purified metal is like kesef tsaruf. You have this concept. It's actually brought wording in the ksubas like that. It's purified. When they put the metal into a furnace to purify it, that would be letzareif. Okay? So, or to strengthen. I think to strengthen or to purify. El letzareif bohen habriyos. Briyos are creations. So the mitzvahs of the Rebbe Shalom are only there to strengthen people. As an example, the Medrash says, V'chima ichbas lei. Why would Hashem care? Mishu sheichet min atzavar, one who shechts from the neck, which is the front of the neck where we actually shecht. Umishu sheichet min ha'erif, or one who shechts from the back of the neck. The Rebbe Hashem says we have to shecht. Of course, in the Torah, doesn't give us the details, but if you learn Masechet Chulin, you'll see that there's a very big difference between shechting from the back of the neck. In fact, Malika, which is the procedure they did on the bird with the nail, that was done from the back of the neck. Shechita was done from the front of the neck, and if you reverse it, you don't. It's not a kosher shechita. Why would Hashem care if you shechted the animal from the back of the neck or the front of the neck? What difference could it make? Now, in fact, if you learn Chulin, you'll see that there's a difference in that you render the animal a trefa. You render the animal incomplete or already not capable of living an extended period of time if you would shecht from the back of the neck, because you would sever other important parts of the neck, and therefore you're causing it to be a trefa. You're rendering it a trefa already before you reach the trachea and esophagus, which are the two things that need to be cut. At least midrabbanan and a bird, you need both. But midaraisa, one is enough. But by a bird, at least. But you would cause problems. So there are reasons that one can explain. Just biologically, whatever it might be. But here theoretically, Hashem could have said, no, I want you to do it from the back of the neck as well, like he says by Malika. So these ideas do exist. It's not like it's a foreign thing. And yet the Rebbe Shalom demands that we have Shechita from the front of the neck. Why? The Rebbe Shalom cares. Heve Omer, this is to say, Le'nosnu ha-mitzvahs ela letzareif behem abiris. These mitzvahs were only given letzareif behem abiris to strengthen people. I'm giving a loose translation, but it means to say, to give us a backbone, to give us some discipline, to purify us. Now, this seems to indicate, as the Rambam says, that there's no specific reason. If you explore, maybe you'll see that there's a reason the Rebbe Hashem wants you to cut, like the Rambam explains later in the Mor Nevuchim, why Shechita has to be in a specific way to cause the least possible amount of pain. And on and on. It's very clear from this medrash that those issues are irrelevant. Those reasons are irrelevant. The reason for the mitzvahs are simply letzareif bahen abrius. So the Rambam points this out and he says, what's going on? If you accept my position, which the Rambam does accept, as do most Rishonim, that there are reasons behind the mitzvahs. So what's this medrash telling us? So the Rambam embarks on a lengthy explanation as to what this means. I'll give you the synopsis of it. But basically his theory is the following. It's not a theory, this is his opinion. His opinion is the following. that while the actual mitzvah itself certainly has, and all mitzvahs certainly have a reason behind them, but the details of why Hashem chose that it should be like this and not like that, why the lulav should be not spread out and specifically not cut, you know, all the different details that you find in a mitzvah, the details, he says, they are specifically for the purpose of, as the Medrash says, letzareif b'hen. What the Medrash is saying is, why Hashem wants us to shecht, there could be a great reason for that. But why the specific detail of the front of the neck, not the back of the neck, and why any other detail of any other mitzvah, that's all letzareif b'hen abrias. So what? It's hard to translate. It's either to strengthen or to purify. I'll try to get a more accurate translation. What's that? To forge, you put it in the water afterwards, and it forges it. Okay, to forge, that's a good word, to strengthen. It's clearly alluding to the idea that discipline is a positive thing for us, and it's an important thing for us, which seems to be at odds with the concept of reasons behind mitzvahs. What the Rambam is telling us basically is his opinion is that the general mitzvah itself certainly has a great reason behind it. Sometimes it's revealed to us, sometimes it's not. But the details of the mitzvah, don't bother looking for. And then he says these very powerful words. Ready for this? Kol mi shematrid atzmai lase siba. So anybody who is matrid, is Torah, tirda, he bothers himself to pursue the reasons behind the details. He's mishtageya shigayin aruch. Mishtageya. Mishugeya. It's mishugeya. That's a very powerful statement and very controversial because, I mean, if you had to guess, if I said to you the opinion of, let's say I said for argument's sake, the opinion of all the great Jewish philosophers is that every mitzvah has a reason behind it. What would you say about the details of the mitzvah? If I had to guess, I would say, of course, every last bit has a reason. According to the Rambam, it's not the case. The general mitzvah. So again, we're working within the camp number two, as we're calling it. But certainly there are reasons behind mitzvahs, but that's only the mitzvah itself, not the details. And in that way, the Rambam explains the source that seems to support camp number one, which is this, what difference is there between the front of the neck, back, and that kind of thing. The Rambam says, no, that's only referring to the details themselves. But the actual mitzvahs in general have reasons, and that is supported by the first two sources that we mentioned. Number one, that it says in the Medrash in Koheles that Shlaima knew all the reasons behind all the mitzvahs except for Par Aduma, and then as well the reasons for the king not to have too many wives, too many horses, too much money, etc. Do we have another couple of minutes, or we're? I'll just end off by saying like this. There are those, especially the Ramban, that disagree with this very strongly, and they have beautiful, the Ramban particularly has a beautiful explanation to this Medrash that says, Letzarev Behen Abriyes, and we'll get to that Bez Hashem tomorrow. I have photocopies of the Ramban with the English translation, thankfully for anybody who wants it. And hopefully we'll pass that out tomorrow. If you want me to hang on to the source sheets so that I can hand them out again to you tomorrow, that's also fine. Just feel free to pass them up, and I'll be happy to do that.
What?
Any questions?
I just have one.